in the KSRO kitchen, no longer in the greenhouse. We're in the kitchen with Emily Ashlam. Good morning, Emily.
Good morning. We're looking out the kitchen window to the garden, maybe.
Oh, I like that visual.
We'll have a little visual. It's a whole house kind of thing today.
It's a virtual picture you painted this morning. And today we're celebrating several things.
Yes.
We're celebrating butter.
Yay.
In about a half hour, we'll be talking to Anna Stockwell. That is, and we'll tell you all about this when the interview begins, has written one of the most absolutely delightful covers in cookbooks that we've ever seen. Rachel went crazy over the book.
Yeah.
Just the stylizing of it,
The
whole concept of the butter book.
The book itself, you feel like you're holding a big stick of butter.
So that'll be at a half hour point at 11:30. Then at 11:15, we'll be chatting with Dawn Richards, the proud proprietress, head baker of Mad Batter Bakery. Now, that's a pretty cool name.
That's a good name.
Wholesale bakery here in Sonoma County. And she will give us her inside tips about making great blueberry muffins, because today is International Blueberry Muffin Day. And we also have some great John Ash recipes to post featuring, highlighting blueberries, which are being posted this morning.
And I dare say one of the recipes in there might be his most made dessert of my entire life.
Well, you could tell us that now.
The French cream with blueberries, but we'll get to that later.
And by the way, I want to tell you something. I have made this numerous times.
Oh, yeah. It's a great one.
Is an absolute crowd pleaser.
Total crowd pleaser.
I can hear people going, well, I'm not a baker. No.
You don't have to be.
You don't need to know anything.
Easy peasy.
It's like four ingredients.
Yep.
And it is so... it's a winner. It's 100% winner.
And it comes out of the fridge ready to go. Yeah. I mean, it's
we'll talk about that when we get into the recipe package. But first, Emily has spent a large part of her career working in some very, very high-end restaurants, both from Los Angeles to New York and to San Francisco, and really is an expert in all things that have to do with what they call the front of the house, the hospitality part. Back in the kitchen, people are doing their thing, but what people remember a lot of times is how they were treated in the restaurant. Things that bug them as far as activities and behaviors going on at other tables, or why do people let their kids act this way? Well, to that end, there was a really interesting article that appeared at, was it on SF Gate?
I think it was on SF Gate.
And it was a Bay Area Chinese restaurant has created debate after a viral social media post revealed its strict policies regarding unruly children. We're going to have Emily comment about this. According to the screenshot shared by Xie Zhu, the restaurant located in Foster City listed several incidents in which customers were forced to pay for damages caused by their children.
Yeah.
In one case, a parent paid $3,200 after a child destroyed a credit card reader.
$327.
Yeah. Another paid over $100 after the child used a utensil to carve designs into a tabletop. So this is the restaurant Xie Zhu, known for their noodles, orange chicken, and other classic Chinese staples, said in the post that it is a family-friendly restaurant, but not a playground, that's in quote, urged parents to keep their children seated. Running around, shouting, making noises, throwing utensils won't be tolerated. Guests not respecting the policy will be asked to leave. We will hold parents financially liable for all damage caused by their children to restaurant property. Obviously, as you would imagine, this post has been viewed more than 1 million times.
Yeah.
And gathered hundreds and hundreds of comments.
Worldwide. They even say it's really
says mostly in favor of the policy, but others have called it complete overkill and vowed the people in the Bay Area to boycott ever eating at this restaurant. And he said, he reiterated that he, nor is the restaurant policy anti-children, but it's a way to let parents know ahead of time, after observing this poor and disruptive behavior, that they're going to be held accountable.
Right.
Now, you have personally interacted with thousands of customers over many years.
For sure.
Give us just some oversight about what you've experienced as a professional in the front of the house.
Well, I want to start by saying the first thing that comes to mind, having been a restaurant general manager many times and... is what would that conversation be like with the parents? Like, where is this listed that you could be charged up to $300? And how do you talk to the parent at the table and say, hey, FYI, your kid just dropped this and it's going to be this amount, which is not listed on a menu anywhere? That conversation, just having done thousands of conversations of, you know, trying to get people back after they're, you know, pissed off about something, that that conversation sounds horrifying to me and very difficult, but it sounds like it's worked. I mean, clearly they got the money for these things, but then you wonder, what does it do to your reputation, of course? And like you said, for the most part, everything that I dug up and found said people like it. They're actually making reservations there. They're actually going for it. And again, as somebody working in there and having had parents, I'm picturing one time where a parent brought in all kinds of little Tupperware boxes with, it's one thing, I feel like, if you have a severe, you know, an allergy or something, and you or your child can't eat anything, and maybe you got to bring your own stuff. It's another thing if you're just like, they just basically handed me all these boxes and said, we need to heat this up for my son. He won't eat anything here. And it was like, well, that's not really our business to heat up your
There's
stuff.
Some liability involved.
Exactly. We can't do that. So, and then they get very upset and very, you know, well, then I won't eat here. You know, anyway. And that's, of course.
So that actually happened to you.
Yes, that's actually happened. And actually with adults, for that matter, too. I've had adults come in and bring their own food and say, heat this up so I can sit while my friends eat other things. And you can't do it. You have to say, I'm sorry.
It's like going into a bar. Oh, listen, sure. I brought my own tequila. It's the only brand I like. You don't carry it. So right. Make my drink with this.
Right.
And add these garnishes.
Yep.
It's the only. So where do you draw the line?
Well, that's a good question. Yeah.
And at restaurants, have you had instances where patrons are obviously disruptive, loud, yelling,
yes,
screaming, maybe?
Well, and damaging. I mean, kids are, they just by, I mean, and I have kids and I know how this goes, but truthfully, I also think of like the few times I actually got to a nice restaurant were usually kid-free nights. And you're kind of like, I'd like a little break from this. And some, and every parent is so different. You know, I certainly have friends who were like, hey, we're free range parents. Our kids kind of get to do whatever they want, and we have free range kids. And they were cruising everywhere, and it was so uncomfortable. But I've also seen, you know, kids will mash berries and this and that into your floor and stain it. They'll for sure mark up your tables. I mean, there's a lot of damage that can come with free range children.
So again, do you send them a bill for the carpet repair or and cleaning? It's a difficult call. It's not
it's
a judgment call at its best. But it's interesting that this restaurateur took the initiative to say, I'm going to put an end to it at my restaurant.
Right.
And maybe it'll empower other restaurants to not both so retiring and frightened about, not confronting, but talking to a customer about, could you maybe keep it down just a little bit?
Yeah.
I mean, you may get blowback, but what are you risking? People getting up saying, I'll never come here again,
sure,
because you're not in control of the restaurant,
right,
versus someone saying, hey, I'm dropping $800 with a group of eight here. Then you stay out of my face.
And people,
you're
think
lucky
that
to have me here.
Absolutely.
Difficult call.
Absolutely.
We'll expand this because I'd like to get some listener reaction.
Oh, yeah.
Not today, but let's have people mull this over and see
how
they think about
it. Please do. I'd love to hear.
Back after this.
Divorce can turn your world upside down. Questions about your children, your home, your finances, everything suddenly feels uncertain. At Sonoma County Legal Line, attorney Alyssa Ehrlich and her experienced team help people just like you navigate the legal side of life's most personal challenges. Whether you're facing divorce, child custody decisions, support issues, or property division, you don't have to figure it out alone. As a certified legal specialist in family law and licensed since 1987, Alyssa Ehrlich understands both the emotional weight and the legal complexity of family law cases. You'll be guided with compassion, clarity, and a strong commitment to protecting your rights and your future. When everything feels uncertain, the right legal advice makes all the difference. Call 284-9626. That's 284-9626, or visit SonomaCountyLegalLine.com. Sonoma County Legal Line. Answers, support, a path forward.
Selling your home isn't just about square footage, bedrooms, or price. It's about the lifestyle. Whether it's a first home, a family estate, or a luxury retreat, Every home has a story.
The morning light in the kitchen, the way the backyard fills up with friends and family, the quiet moments on the front porch, the life that's been lived there. When it's time to sell, that story matters. Buyers aren't just purchasing a home, they're connecting to a lifestyle. We bring your home story to life through tailored marketing, strategic exposure, and by taking the time to understand what makes your home stand out.
When you're ready to sell, we'll make sure your home story is told the right way to attract the right buyers.
Reach out to the Norman Home Team. Schedule a no-obligation consultation at normanhometeam.com. Alice and Stephanie Norman, realtors at Keller Williams Realty Wine Country and hosts of the Real Estate Hour on KSRO. DRE licenses 01720334 and 0220-9237.
Does anyone even listen to the radio anymore?
You're listening right now, aren't you? And you aren't the only one. Every week, our stations reach over 200,000 people in Sonoma County.
When you use radio to advertise, local is everything. You want as many local ears on your message as possible. And when you advertise with us at locally owned Sonoma Media Group, we can target your ad to every demographic from teens to seniors.
Our local radio stations have dedicated audiences who listen regularly. When you advertise consistently, you're building a customer base and brand recognition that over time will increase your revenue and build your business.
Our marketing and creative teams are ready to help you create effective radio and digital messages that'll convert listeners into customers.
When the need arises for your services, make sure it's your business the listener remembers.
Sonoma Media Group has your marketing strategy covered with radio, digital, and print advertising. Learn more at SonomaMediaGroup.com.
News, talk, community, KSRO.
In the KSRO Kitchen, I'm Steve Garner, along with Emily Ash Lamb, celebrating our 38th year on the air, America's radio food show. And today, we've never celebrated this holiday. I mean, it's not really a holiday. It's more an observance. It's International Blueberry Muffin Day today. And, of course, I made some blueberry muffins.
Shall we talk about your muffins, Steve?
It's not about me.
Well, kind of. You showed up with muffins.
I did show up with muffins, and we'll talk about muffins in relationship to how the pros do it.
Yeah.
Because there's some great blueberry muffins out there, and we have someone that's going to give us some tips about blueberry muffins and how she does it. Dawn Richards, welcome to the Good Food Hour. Thanks for joining me.
Hi, thank you. Thanks for having me.
So give us now I know you are a wholesale bakery. What is the name of the bakery in Santa Rosa?
I am Mad Batter Bakery Co., and we are a dedicated gluten-free baker.
And you're on Cleveland Avenue, right?
Right, yeah. We are right by AAA Tires and down the street from Trader Joe's.
Okay, but we can't walk in and buy products from you because you sell to other restaurants and or coffee shops, things like that, correct?
Yes, I do, but you are more than welcome to walk in any day of the week and buy something from me. We have a lot of stuff on hand.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, we didn't know this.
We're not just wholesale. We're retail also.
Oh.
I didn't know. Okay.
We thought it was just wholesale. This is exciting.
No.
And what are your hours? What are your hours?
We're here between 9 and 2 every day. A lot of days we're here, or I'm here a little bit later. And we open on Saturdays between 10 and 2. And then once a month here in the kitchen, we do a pop-up right here in my space, and we'll have cinnamon rolls or pretzels or croque monsieurs or, you know, a whole bunch of stuff that we normally don't have on hand.
Dawn, where have you been all my life?
Right here.
We'll be there in about an hour.
I'm here.
So I wanted to bring you into the conversation about blueberry muffins because although I am not gluten-free, I know many people, and actually people in my family are gluten-free, and it's not easy, really, and has not been over the years, to really find outstanding sweet treats that are the equal or maybe even surpass regular full gluten type flour products. But I stumbled on your blueberry muffin one time, and I got it at Avid Coffee over in Montgomery Village a long time ago. And I said, well, I'll just try it. And I was blown away. It was a sensational muffin. And that's why I wanted to bring you in the conversation. The ones I made, the ones I made were with all-purpose flour and corn, medium corn grind flour, the ones I have in front of me. But I realized that, yes, there can be great gluten-free blueberry muffins out there. Can you run us through the process of what you experimented with as far as flours and also whether milk or buttermilk or sour cream, all the millions of decisions you made while coming up with your blueberry muffin?
Yeah. Well, we what we did when we designed this batter for Avid Coffee, they were using regular flour. And when they came to me for their goods, we switched everything over to gluten-free for them. And we designed the batters. And when we made this cornmeal batter, the only butter I had on hand was brown butter. So we went ahead and we made this cornmeal muffin, and we used brown sugar. We don't use regular sugar because it enriches the flavor. And we use a medium grind for our cornmeal. And then it's my own gluten-free flour blend that I've created. And we use regular milk. And when we take the brown butter, we don't separate the bits out. We kind of let it cool and kind of come back together, and then we mix all the brown specks back into it so you can get that nuttier flavor in there.
Nice.
And that, along with the brown sugar, enriches the flavor. And then one of the most important things with gluten-free baking is that we let those batters rest at least overnight.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
Well, let me ask you something at this point. Yeah. Aren't you adding leaveners to that batter at that time?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, bacon. My gluten-free flour is basically an all-purpose flour, and I'm able to swap it one-to-one.
But doesn't the leavener start immediately when you add the liquid? How do you deactivate that?
Yeah, you don't deactivate it. You have to baking powder. When you look at baking powder, it's a double.
Okay.
So you get a bam when you're making it, and then you're going to get another bam when you're baking it.
So it just stays dormant in the refrigerator. It doesn't lose its potency.
No. Oh. No. You think about what we have to do to rice to make it edible. We have to cook it in water. Right?
Yeah.
So if we let that batter rest overnight, that rice is able to absorb that flour and break it down further. Therefore, I have more like a gluten crumb to my product.
I got interesting.
And did you say your flour is a custom blend? Is that under wraps? Are you going to tell us exactly what's in your custom blend of gluten-free flour?
I have white rice, brown rice, tapioca, potato starch. And we use a coconut milk powder so that I can use my flour blend vegan.
Oh, that's really interesting.
Really interesting.
Can you buy coconut milk powder over the counter at retail?
Yeah, you can. But, unfortunately, the amounts that I need, I find on Amazon.
Yeah. Yep. Okay, this makes sense. Now, where do you buy all these flour blends to blend your flour?
I go to Center Milling in Petaluma, and there's a milling company. They are amazing.
They are.
Absolutely amazing. So I can get almost everything I need for my bakery, down to my chocolate, my nuts, raisins, flowers.
Incredible. Yeah. And for your and blueberries, I was digging around in blueberry muffin recipe, and since we're talking blueberry muffins, and one recipe I read, they said they only will use frozen blueberries because they think they don't bleed as much. I'm guessing you use fresh.
Well, we'll use a combination. I've used frozen blueberries and scones. And, it ends up, because you're working with that dough, it ends up starting to melt, and then your whole dough turns blue.
Got it.
So I do prefer the fresh, but supposedly frozen blueberries have more health benefits
Right.
She's a blueberry from some of the things that I've been reading. I don't know if that's natural or not.
I just read that about spinach, too, that spinach is actually better frozen. Or it holds the nutrients more.
Well, the ones I used on when I made my muffins last night, I used the IQF organic frozen blueberries.
Oh, okay. Uh-huh.
And they performed really well for me. They didn't bleed. They held together. They have a real,
wouldn't you say,
concentrated blueberry flavor?
Absolutely.
Emily?
I really got the blueberry flavor, and the texture was really
awesome.
Nice. Yeah, they didn't mush out.
Well, this is interesting what you had said about using the coconut milk powder. So actually, your batter is vegan also, besides being gluten-free.
Right. So if I have a vegan customer comes in, I can just use my flour blend to go vegan. And then we just use it the same as when we're baking normal gluten-free.
So this is great. So you've got your batter, and then you can choose what fruit you'd like to do. If you want to do a raspberry one day or blueberry the next day, you can change it up.
Right. So when we send those batters to Avid Coffee, it's just a cornmeal batter, and then they add in their fruit of
whatever
the week
fruit.
Or whatever they're using.
Got it.
Interesting idea.
Yeah. Really?
Well, isn't this...
This is so cool. Do we have time to talk about all her interesting cakes that she has?
Or no, we don't.
Of course not.
But we're going to have Dawn on the show for a full show.
Okay, but in super fast time, birthday funfetti cake, the EP Fluffinator named after Elvis. German chocolate, lemon bliss bun, lemon zucchini, peanut butter chocolate porter cake. There's some really good ones on there. And like I said, I think I'll probably be coming by any minute here. And just
so give us your location again.
That lemon zucchini cake
sounds
the rails.
It sounds so good.
So where's your location again in your hours, Dawn?
I am here Tuesday through Friday from 9 to 2. And then on Saturdays between 10 and 2, I am located at 3181 Unit C on Cleveland Avenue. I am right behind AAA Tires and the On Fire store.
I love it. Yeah, I know exactly where you are, too. And just saying, do you have any lemon zucchini cake today? Because it has goat cheese frosting, you guys. Like, whoop.
Yeah, and a lemon glaze. And actually, I have lemon zucchini cupcakes that we just made yesterday.
Well, I'm coming by. Yeah, that's all there is to it.
But Emily, you have to stay till noon. That's when the show's over.
That's what I said, about an hour.
Dawn, thank you.
In a little bit.
Okay.
Dawn, thank you so much for your blueberry muffin insights this morning. It was a pleasure talking with you.
Thank you so much for having me on the show. You guys have a great day.
Thanks, Dawn.
Sure will. We'll take a break. And from there, we're going to go to an indispensable ingredient in our blueberry muffins, and that's butter. Anna Stockwell coming up next. She's written The Butter Book.
Your home for news, weather, traffic, talk. Sonoma County's News Talk. KSRO Santa Rosa.
If you're remodeling an existing kitchen or bathroom, Cabinets 101 in Rohnert Park is your local diamond certified company. With a huge selection of quality wood cabinets, stainless and porcelain sinks, quartz and granite countertops to suit any kitchen or bathroom. Here's another satisfied Cabinets 101 customer.
Hi, I've been a contractor for 25 years now. I was doing a kitchen remodel recently, and my customer told me the cabinets she chose would be $56,000 from a big box store. I told her to try out Cabinets 101 in Rohnert Park, and Stan basically got her the same thing for $30,000 less. It's so nice to find another business that believes in old school customer service, and I can honestly recommend Cabinets 101.
0% interest, limited term financing available. Bring in your project measurements, and Cabinets 101 will even give you a free estimate on your project. Stop by the Cabinets 101 showroom today at 5665 Redwood Drive in Rohnert Park.
KSRO welcomes The Real Change with Jeff Gilman from the Redwood Gospel Mission. On the second and fourth Wednesdays of each month at noon, Jeff and his guests explore the realities of homelessness, breaking down stigma, understanding the paths that lead there, and inspiring our community to get involved and be part of the solution. The Real Change with Redwood Gospel Mission on the second and fourth Tuesdays of the month at noon on KSRO.
Are you having trouble hearing? Hearing loss can devastate the quality of your life. Now, there's an affordable fix for you or your loved one. Rated the best hearing aids of 2026 by Forbes Health, Audion Hearing has the highest quality hearing aids at the lowest prices, starting at just $98 a pair.
I actually like them better than my old $5,000 hearing aids.
I could not believe how my hearing and life changed.
Join over 1 million happy customers by going to audionhearing.com. That's A-U-D-I-E-N hearing.com.
Hi, Jody Cohen from Sonoma Cutlery, inviting you to stop fighting your food. Get your knives professionally sharpened at our new location across from SRJC. Drop off your knives and pick them up a few days later, or call ahead for a VIP appointment to get your sharpening done while you wait. Scissors and pruning shears too. We can also personalize your knives with custom engraving. Sonoma Cutlery across the street from SRJC. Sharpening details and more at sonomacutlery.com.
In the KSRO kitchen, I'm Steve Garner, along with Emily Ash Lamb, celebrating our 38th year, America's longest running radio food program. So we're celebrating International Blueberry Muffin Day today. Just spoke with Dawn Richards from the Mad Batter Bakery about her blueberry muffins, and we're dining on Steve's blueberry muffins that I made real early this morning. And we also just posted a wonderful recipe package with your dad, Chef John Ash, created a number of years ago, Emily, and that's up now. So talk about the recipes quickly before we introduce Anna.
With just a few little highlights here, I don't know that I'll get to all, but all things blueberry in here. The first one, lemon curd crepes with blueberry sauce. Really nice to have a really pretty simple lemon curd recipe, too.
So and for that sauce, he uses those frozen IQF blueberries that I used in my muffins.
Yes, they were often in the freezer there. The second one there is a melon and goat cheese salad with agro dolce, the lovely sort of sweet and tart dressing on that, which uses some fresh blueberries, a little melon, just like cantaloupe or crane, some peppery greens. Really a great summer salad. Really nice one there. The next one, blueberry cobbler. I mean, who need I say more? Like, it's a wonderful one. Fresh blueberries, a little dough on top. Very, you know, perfect for a summer one. We're getting close there. A couple more. Dutch babies, our family favorite every Christmas.
Your dad made those?
I make them.
Oh, you make Dutch babies.
Originally, my mom did, but I'm sure a recipe of his. We use the joy of cooking Dutch baby, which I'm sure is slightly ripped off here. No, I'm just kidding. The next one, ricotta pudding with blueberries and almond thins. Ooh. Yum. And lots of these have...
And a great blueberry sauce.
I was just going to say, quite a few have a blueberry sauce. As well as, I'll just jump to the very last one, which we mentioned earlier. I truly think this was my dad's most served, most made.
Very famous.
Very famous. Served at his original John Ash and Company in Montgomery Village.
The restaurant.
The restaurant, yep. The blueberries and French cream, which lives somewhere maybe between flan and creme brulee or something along those lines with a lovely little warm blueberry sauce on that cold French cream. It's just delicious.
I have served this a number of times when John introduced it years ago, and everyone raves about it. It is so simple. You don't need to be a cook, a baker, or anything. Anyone can do this recipe. That French cream with the gelatin, the heavy cream, the sour cream, the vanilla. Mm-hmm. You can't but love it.
I think every catering event I've done with my dad finished with this.
So that is now on the KSRO Good Food Hour website. You can find it now, print it out, and have fun. So would you say that this cookbook that we're holding in front of us is one of the coolest cookbooks you might have ever seen?
It's
certainly
very cool.
Design-wise.
Absolutely, yes.
It's called The Butter Book, and it was written by Anna Stockwell, and it actually feels like the covering.
It does. It's a little waxy.
A little waxy. It's remarkable. It's about the size of, about 4 cubes of butter?
Exactly.
If you put them inside.
Yep.
But it feels like that. It's on the back, there's the irresistible celebration of the world's favorite ingredients, and the tablespoons living out.
I just love it.
The Butter Book. Anna, welcome to the show. Thanks for joining Emily and me.
Hi, thanks so much for having me.
Our pleasure. The book came out several months ago, and it's gotten rave reviews, as well it should. So did you come up and you were sitting late night one night and say, you know, there's not enough butter books out there, or there's very few. How did you come up with the idea to do this?
Well, I can't take full credit for the idea. It was a collaboration with the creative director at Chronicle Books, who had the visual idea of wanting to make a book that looks like a stick of butter.
done.
So the vision came first. And they reached out to me because I love butter and I write cookbooks, and was like, I want to make this book that looks like butter. What do you think? And I was like, I think that's an amazing idea. Sign me up.
Yes.
So then it was my job to come up with you know, what goes inside a book that looks like butter.
And you really cover everything from what butter is, how it's made, and how to make butter, which I don't know that I've seen in too many cookbooks, but maybe I'm not looking hard enough, but it made me want to make butter.
Have you made butter, Anna?
Well, I had to be able to write about it.
Well,
right?
You know, I need to ask that. Some people go, oh, she's just talking the talk. She's not walking the walk. She really is.
Yeah, so I went deep into making my own butter for the book. I have to say, after my initial research period, I have gone back to buying butter. I think it's something that's an amazing thing to learn how to do. I think it's super fun. And on most days, easier to just buy butter from the store.
Sure. I love at the beginning, the beginning of your book, though, also is this amazing history of butter, which goes back to 9,000 BCE. I mean, this is a well-loved product here that has been around for a very long time.
Yes. It's believed that it's one of the oldest human-made foods.
Mm.
And also believed that it was discovered by accident, which I think is so cool. Because if you have ever taken, like, a jar of butter home from the grocery store and, like, been driving around too long. I mean, sorry, a jar of heavy cream home from the grocery store. You're driving around too long, going over too many bumps. You might get home and find that heavy cream is separating into fat and liquid. And that's what happened. We believe it was during the Neolithic period, likely somewhere in Central Asia, that nomads who were, carrying the milk, goat's milk probably, or yak or sheep, on long journeys in, animal skin pouches, the milk would get agitated, the cream would separate, then the cream would turn to butter, and they discovered that this was actually a delicious fat to use for cooking.
And we are, and butter, again, it's historically been up and down this in the past 50, 60 years. It was demonized. You know, you're shorting your life if you eat butter. You should have replaced it with another fat. And certainly olive oil is, we love olive oil and we love our good health. We love our healthy fats. Margarine, of course, they tried to capitalize on butter's popularity by coming up with something called, I can't believe it's butter. Well, just taste it. You'll know it's not. But butter is very popular, isn't it? Still, and even more so.
It is. More so, I would say. We are in a golden age of butter right now. And personally, I'm very happy about that.
I am too. I love butter. I have often said that I think a warm loaf of bread and cold butter is really, I could live on that. I really could. And be
it's
perfectly
one of the
happy.
Best things in the world.
It really is. One of the parts of the book, too, that I love, I'm sitting with this page open, is all the, can we talk about the compound butters?
Sure.
I mean, I just love the visual of those. You have everything from a bright pink one to one with beautiful green flecks to one that looks like it has possibly brown sugar or something going on in it.
And it's funny because your dad did a lot of compound butters at the restaurant for 25, 30 years.
Absolutely, and they're so great to make and have around because they just flavor.
You can make these at home. They're really easy.
Absolutely.
And he said, when you serve that plate of food and you have that compound butter, he said, you can add an extra buck or two to the entree. So talk about how do you approach making compound butters, Anna?
Yeah, so you can really flavor compound butter with almost anything that your heart desires. Just it shouldn't be a liquid. So spices and herbs generally work best for flavoring compound butter. We call it compound butter because you are compounding the flavor into the butter. some people are very confused by that name.
Yeah, so no, that makes sense.
I tried to explain it. Yeah. and that photo that you're looking at in the book, those are all of the different flavors that I came up with for the book. And I made them all. I did the food styling for this book. So I made all of those rolls of butter that you're looking at.
Well
done.
It was
a lot of fun.
Yeah, I bet. It made me want like all of them in my fridge. I was like, this is all I need. It will flavor everything.
It really will. Yeah. And you can keep them in your freezer for up to 6 months.
Right.
So I like to think of putting compound butter in my freezer, like putting money in the bank towards future meals.
Right. Ooh.
I like that. That's a great place to pause. Why don't we pause right there? And one of the coolest things about this book is it will fit in the glove compartment of your car. You can carry this when you're going to the market and refer to it before
you
go
into
your shopping.
Or my crossbody purse. Yeah,
or your purse.
It sure did.
It's a purse.
I brought it in today.
Too. Anna Stockwell's in the KSRO virtual kitchen today with Emily Ash Lamb in her new book, The Butter Book. I'm Steve Garner. We'll be back right after a few messages.
Santa Rosa Diesel is your destination for everything diesel. Santa Rosa Diesel services all light-duty diesel vehicles and equipment. Santa Rosa Diesel is Sonoma County's diesel specialist in engine diagnostics and repair, oil changes, brakes, AC service, even pre-purchase inspections. The pros at Santa Rosa Diesel have almost 100 years combined experience in diesel fuel systems. If your check engine light is on, Santa Rosa Diesel will pull the code for you for free, let you know what the problem is, and what it's going to take to fix it. That's right, if your check engine light is on, Santa Rosa Diesel will pull the code for you for free. Also, with every oil change, you get a free safety inspection. Santa Rosa Diesel is your destination for everything diesel. Come to Santa Rosa Diesel for advice, diesel fuel injection sales and service, or when your diesel vehicle needs repair. 3649 Standish Avenue in Santa Rosa. Online at srdiesel.com. srdiesel.com.
Lock them in.
Wow, thanks. I'm totally locked in. Woohoo!
That's the sound of another happy Love Car Wash customer who's getting unlimited washes at a locked-in rate of just $34.99 a month.
I'm locked in for life.
As long as you remain an active member, your rate will never change. And that's true love, our top-tier membership. Available at Love Car Wash locations in Santa Rosa, Rohnert Park, American Canyon, Ukiah, and coming soon to Cotati and Healdsburg.
Right now at Love Car Wash, lock in unlimited top-tier true love washes for just $34.99 a month. Includes access to all Love locations, dedicated member lanes for less waiting, and complimentary tools. Free vacuums, premium shine, unlimited washes. Locations in Santa Rosa, Rohnert Park, American Canyon, and Ukiah. Coming soon to Cotati and Healdsburg. Visit LUVCarWash.com. LUVCarWash.com. Get locked in today.
If you're crazy about your pets and love your livestock, then it's time to visit us at Larson's Feed and Pet Supply. Hi, I'm Ken Larson.
And I'm Amy Larson. We have everything you need to keep your animals happy.
Nutritious pet foods and top quality feed for your livestock. Horses, cows, goats, chickens, llamas, whatever you're raising.
At Larson's Feed and Pet Supply, we also have a wide selection of toys, treats, bedding, and accessories.
And when you need some expert advice, just ask. Our team can help you choose the right products.
Ranchers, hobby farmers, and devoted pet people make Larson's their only stop for supplying everything necessary for happy animals.
Stop by today and see why Larson's is a local favorite for everything feed and pet.
We're just west of Cotati on Gravenstein Highway and online at larsensfeedandpetsupply.com. Order online for in-store pickup or delivery.
L-A-R-S-E-N-S feedandpetsupply.com. We're open 7 days a week.
Larson's Feed and Pet Supply.
News, talk, community. KSRO.
In the KSRO kitchen, I'm Steve Garner. Good morning, all. Along with Emily Ash Lamb, we were talking in the break, but we get back to Anna Stockwell, the author of The Butter Book, about the wonderful family of fats, right?
Yes. And we were, and I was saying, Anna, you know, I work for an olive oil ranch, and the one McAvoy Ranch, which I think makes the most delicious olive oil. And it feels a little like, oh gosh, we're talking about all this butter and shouldn't we, you know, anyway, I was just having this little moment in my head. And what I turned to Steve and said was, I do think, though, that olive oil and butter together is almost the greatest combination I've ever had to saute a piece of fresh fish or something like that, the combination. And I was like, can't we all just get along? Does it have to be one or the other of these fats? It could. I think we can use both to make great flavor.
What do you think about that, Anna?
I think we can use both. I think fat equals flavor.
Yes.
And the more flavor we have, the better.
Agreed. And also really quickly, just before we get off of, I know we were talking about compound butters and some flavors here. Some of the flavors you have in here are so interesting. You have a seaweed butter, you have a miso orange butter, a raspberry thyme butter, puttanesca butter. There's some really fun ones in here.
Thank you. Yeah, they're all delicious. It's
yeah.
Hard to choose my favorites, honestly.
Absolutely.
So Anna, do you play the field with butter? Are you always trying new ones, or do you have kind of a secret special butter that you like to use day in and day out?
So if I see a new flavor, I mean, a new brand of butter in the supermarket, I can't resist trying it. I definitely have to try every single butter I see. So I don't always have the same kind, but I like to keep three types of butter in my fridge at all times. I always love to have a salted, cultured, European-style butter, and I'm not particular to what brand it is. I try different brands, but I love cultured butter to use as my table butter to spread on bread, to top my oatmeal with, to put a dollop on, you know, to finish a pasta sauce with, whatever, because it has that nice, savory, almost cheese-like quality that I think makes the butter flavor more intense and delicious. A cultured, salted, European-style butter is usually a more expensive specialty butter, so I don't use that for baking with. For baking with, I use just a standard sweet cream butter. Mm-hmm. And again, I try different brands all the time. Personally, I try to buy organic whenever possible. Mm-hmm. And then for savory cooking, I love a grass-fed butter. I love Kerrygold. That's an easy to find one. But other brands are delicious as well. And the way that the grass-fed butter looks so yellow is because the cows are eating grass, which is high in beta carotene, which gives them yellow milk and gives the butter a more sort of like earthy, grassy, savory flavor, which I think is really good for savory cooking. So, like, if I'm poaching if I'm sauteing some vegetables and I want to throw butter in, or if I am butter basting a steak or searing some fish, like, the assaulted grass-fed butter is usually my way to go. Yeah.
That's the way to go. So you always have several on hand depending on what the application is.
Yeah, exactly. So for baking, I like the pure sweet cream butter because then you can let the flavors of the baked good really shine through.
Do you find a use for ghee?
Yeah, ghee is clarified butter that has also been cooked for a long time so that the butter solids caramelize and give the clarified butter a more sort of nutty, rich flavor. I love ghee. I think it's delicious.
Yeah, and you can keep it unrefrigerated on your counter.
Yes, you can keep it in the counter or in the cupboard for a long time. Butter, when you are cooking at a high temperature, will smoke and burn and turn acrid tasting, and you don't want that. Ghee or clarified butter won't do that. So if you're cooking something at a really high temperature and you want it to have a buttery flavor, reach for clarified butter or ghee. Like if you're making potatoes in the oven, but you want them to be buttery, then clarified butter or ghee is the way to go. Ghee also, of course, is traditionally used in Ayurvedic cooking and in Indian cuisine, and is really like crucial for achieving that authentic flavor.
Yeah, and I you can't help but notice how so many people are now adopting brown butter as part of their cooking regime.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, my I like to say if you're going to melt butter, you might as well brown it.
Add more flavor, right? It's just going to add more flavor. Yeah. Exactly.
We're going to take a final break. When we come back, let's talk about your 10 favorite recipes that depend on butter, okay?
Sounds great.
Anna Stockwell, the author of The Butter Book. She's chatting with Emily Ashlam and me, Steve Garner, in the Chaos Arto Kitchen this morning.
Hi, I'm Rachel, ultrasound technologist for Sonoma Vein. I see patients with leg symptoms such as swelling, cramping, achiness, heaviness, restless legs, itchiness, or pain. The most common thing patients say is they didn't know their symptoms could be treated and covered by their insurance plan. We pride ourselves on making patient visits convenient and educating them on what the procedures entail. Patients initially have an ultrasound, then consult with the doctor who reviews results and develops a customized treatment plan. Then Sonoma Vein handles the authorization process if their insurance requires it. My favorite thing about working here is developing relationships with our patients and getting to know them on a personal and professional level. I love seeing patients throughout their treatment say how much their legs have improved and how much better their quality of life is. If you have symptoms such as swelling, cramping, achiness, heaviness, itchiness, pain, or restless legs, Sonoma Vein would love to care for you. Call Sonoma Vein 636-8346 or visit sonomavein.com.
Our pets aren't just pets, they're family. And at Big Wolf Pets, they're treated that way. Big Wolf Pets has everything to keep tails wagging and whiskers twitching. And the best part? You can shop anytime, anywhere. Visit BigWoofPets.com and get your pet's favorite things delivered right to your door. Big Wolf is a small local business in Lafayette. So when you're in the neighborhood, bring your pet and say hi. Support small business. Visit BigWoofPets.com. Big Wolf Pets, because our pets deserve the best.
Zappelli's Auto Body and Collision stands for trust, family, and quality collision repair in Sonoma County.
Hi, I'm Samantha Zappelli. My father started our family legacy in 1958. For almost seven decades, my family has been proudly serving Sonoma County.
And I'm Samantha's daughter, Brooke. As a third generation, I am proud to continue the Zappelli tradition. We keep the repair process simple and the standard high with competitive prices. All repairs are performed by certified technicians, and we work with every insurance company. For us, it's not just about the vehicles. It's about the integrity we put into everything we do.
For 67 years, families have trusted Zappelli's Auto Body to get them safely back on the road. And when your vehicle is ready, not only will it look great, but you'll also get peace of mind because every repair is backed by a lifetime warranty.
Zappelli's Auto Body, 4914 Sonoma Highway, online at ZappelliAutoBody.com. And remember, California law protects your right to choose the shop you trust. Zappelli's Auto Body, generations strong.
News, talk, community, KSRO.
It is the KSRO Good Food Hour from beautiful Sonoma County, California. I'm Steve Garner, along with Emily Ashlam. Special guest this morning is Anna Stockwell, the author of The Butter Book.
The Butter Book.
I can just, people licking their lips right now. We're into the section where Anna has chosen her 10 favorite recipes that depend on butter. Emily, what caught your eye?
Well, the first one, sorry, I'm going to jump to a dessert first, just because I went, oh, this is the cake my mom made me every year, was the birthday butter cake with a beautiful chocolate frosting. It just, you know, it's like a yellow cake with chocolate frosting.
How did that make it in the book, Anna?
Yeah, so it was so hard to narrow it down to 10 recipes.
Yeah,
because
be
so many recipes are all about butter and rely on butter for their structural and flavor, for their structural shape and their flavor. And, you know, butter is just a magical cooking ingredient. I love how many things butter does for us in the kitchen. We could not bake or cook without it. All that being said, there had to be a cake. I love a yellow butter cake. And I love using the reverse creaming technique invented by Rose Levy Barenbaum, where you start by mixing your dry ingredients with butter rather than creaming butter and sugar first. And this does this like amazing thing for the structure of a cake where it coats it coats the glutens in fat, so that they don't bind as easily, and that makes a fluffier cake. It means that there's less chance of you over mixing the batter and ending up with like a dense, chewy cake that you don't want. So I think it's a foolproof technique. I like to start cakes that way. And so I wanted to have a recipe in the book that showcased that technique.
I'm so glad you mentioned Rose Levy Barenbaum, the author of The Cake Bible. Rose has been on the show several times. She's going to be joining us in the studio in September for the release of her memoir, which is coming out this fall.
Amazing. Yep. Tell her I'm a big fan.
I will let her know. For me, Palm Anna, that's the beginning and the ending of how the potato can reach its highest form. So thank you for enjoying that. Emily, you mentioned the scallop dish.
Oh, gosh, that photo just makes you like, how can I not eat this right now? Butter-basted scallops with beer blanc.
Yes. Butter basting scallops just makes them so much more delicious and caramelized and buttery and crunchy on the outside and soft and tender on the inside. They're perfect.
Absolutely.
I've made biscuits for 30 years and I never thought to do a compound butter.
Yeah, great
idea. Biscuit.
Oh, well, glad to help you think of something new.
Well, you get set in your ways when you're baking and doing things the same way. And that's why cookbooks like this are so important. You got another one, Emily?
Let's see. Gosh, there are so many. I did like the biscuits as well, but the cultured butter oat shortbread also really caught my eye and something to try to make.
And earlier I was saying how I always bake with just standard sweet cream butter. Apparently, that's not true. I love baking with cultured butter for shortbread because shortbread is one of those recipes where the ingredient list is so short.
Right.
Pun intended. And you can really taste every single thing you put in there.
Right.
So it's a wonderful opportunity to use a really flavorful cultured butter, and you can notice it in the final result.
Right.
Like if you bake side by side a cultured butter shortbread and a sweet cream butter shortbread, you're going to taste the difference.
Yeah.
And the cultured butter just adds that little extra savory depth.
Yep. And I know which one Steve's going to pick for his last one.
Well, what do you
know.
Think? Which one do you think I'm going
to
pick?
The butterscotch pudding.
That's right.
Of course. I know you well.
Oh. Gee, I'm so transparent. Well, to me, you know, I grew up originally 50 years ago in Kentucky, and bourbon is in my veins. And so anything that has even a teaspoonful, I'm going to be interested. I do love making butterscotch pudding, and I do add... Well, either a teaspoon of scotch or bourbon, depending on my mood. Thank you for...
But do you add a teaspoon or tablespoon of butter at the end of making your butterscotch pudding?
No, I never thought to do that.
You should now. It makes it extra buttery and extra creamy.
Yum.
See? You think you know everything.
All kinds of tips and tricks this morning.
Don't you have in the shortbread. Yeah, the shortbread recipe. I love
Doesn't
shortbread.
That? Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That idea of the cultured butter oat shortbread.
And there's even a chocolate chip cookie recipe called the New Classic. What makes it new classic?
It's really interesting. Yeah, what makes it a new classic?
So I tinkered with chocolate chip cookies a lot. This is my ideal chocolate chip cookie. It's made with browned butter because more delicious. And it's made with melted butter versus solid butter, which makes a lacier, crunchier cookie. But it's still creamy on the, like, still like gooey on the inside. And I think that's the perfect texture for a chocolate chip cookie. It's also a little less sweet than your classic chocolate chip cookie. So that's why I'm calling it new classic, because I feel like we're more open to things that are a little less sticky sweet now. Mm-hmm. And it has almond flour in it
for
extra nuttiness and also more of a toothsome texture.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I believe chocolate chip cookies should have both milk chocolate and bittersweet chocolate in them. I think that is
the
more
way
delicious.
To end this chat.
With dessert.
Bittersweet and milk chocolate need to be in a chocolate chip cookie. Anna,
they
thank
really
you.
Do. You need both and salt.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank
it's
you.
Been a joy.
Thank
the Butter Book, Anna Stockwell. Emily, we'll see you next week.
Sounds like a deal.
This is Sonoma County's News Talk. K245DJ Petaluma, K278CD, KSRO Santa Rosa.
From ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. A bipartisan bill to make housing more affordable has become law today without President Trump's signature. He had 10 days to veto it, sign it, or let it become law on its own.
If he had vetoed it, we would have been able to override that veto.
Congresswoman Maxine Waters, California Democrat, says one of the aims